In this podcast, we're going to talk about what percentage is yours. And by that, I mean, in every given situation, disagreement, particularly, you know, when you're married, with a neighbor, with a roommate, with a coworker. Particularly in a marriage, this comes up all the time. What percentage of this is yours? And this came from an email that I got this week. Difficulty in a marriage. She has been a overdrinker. She has had some periods of sobriety. She has had a recent relapse. He is less than supportive. And he has an explanation as to why his behavior is the way it is right now. And we don't even need to describe what it is because it doesn't matter. But he has adopted a series of behaviors that when they go to counseling and they're both sitting face to face with the counselor, and the husband says, I have to do this because she's been an overdrinker. When she emails me and says, it seems like really shitty manipulation. He seems like he's being a bastard. How could me being an overdrinker explain this, this, and this? And my answer was not to engage with the content of the dispute. And my answer was not to take a side, as in, you're right, he's a bastard, because I don't know what his side is. And I don't know what in his own thinking, what explains his behavior. Like, for example, if he said I had to quit my job because she was overdrinking and I had to keep track of her. If he said that, I would not judge his response, and I will not engage in a conversation about who's right. But what I did say to my pen pal was, what percentage of this is yours? And here's my answer to her. It's pretty tempting for our wolfies to wind us up at the idea of drinking at someone, especially when something, you know, like confrontational like this happens. The hardest part of being sober is listening to someone else's version of reality and trying to find the 5 to 10% of their story that is true and fixing that. Because some part of what he's saying is true. Perhaps not all of it, but maybe 5 to 10%. So then the goal for you in terms of growth is to own the part that's you and fix that, and then shit changes. And you can imagine how she could have one of two responses. One, which is fuck you. Nothing explains my husband quitting his job. And her response was, what you wrote makes a lot of sense. I will try to figure out what my part is and fix it. Because if we really only have the ability to control our own behavior and to fix our own shit, and we don't know in this situation, we don't actually know what's going on with him. Because number one, I'm not speaking to him. But number two, not everybody can articulate what's going on with them. Lots of us, you and me included, have behavior that we can't even figure out what the root of the cause. Like, why are we doing that? I don't know. It's just sort of, that's my response. That's how I react. I was in a food tasting this morning and there was someone behind me talking the whole time. Why does that irritate me? I don't really know why. I don't know if I've ever stopped to like try to analyze the why of it. It is just my response. He's had a response to your overdrinking. He probably doesn't know and can't articulate all of the whys. Just like you can't articulate all of the reasons why you continue to drink, knowing full well that your marriage was having a hard time. And you continued to drink while you knew it didn't work for you, and you had a sober coach and you were emailing me and talking to me. So the only person that we get to really examine what's going on is us. And when somebody holds up a mirror like this, as gross as it is, like let's say you're at work, and your boss pulls you in a room and says, blah, 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 blah. And what you hear is, I suck. and you email him and you say, oh my God, my boss was just so unfair, just said like 60 things and I so didn't do any of them and it's so completely unfair. And my answer is the same. What is the 5 to 10% of that that is true? Let's just assume for the sake of argument that 5 to 10% of that is true. Can you fix that? It's very difficult to hear somebody say something that you know is bullshit, but try to find the 5% that is actually true and fix that. Because it is very easy to dismiss entire people, entire marriages, entire conversations, entire jobs on something that you don't fully understand and on judgments that you make because of somebody else's behavior that they can't even properly articulate themselves anyway. Like, let's say, for example, that you've been over drinking and your husband says, I had to stop working because she's over drinking. If that's true, to ask him to explain how and why that he made this decision would be complex and he may not be able to articulate it. But let's make a guess, okay? Something felt unsafe to him. Some part of him felt panicked. Some part of him felt like a victim. Some part of him felt like things were out of control and happening to him. Is any of that valid? Well, some of it is. Well, 5% of it is. And maybe you know what? Like maybe 95% of your interpretation of this in situation is correct. And it's all bullshit bogus. The whole fucking thing. He was simply looking for a reason to quit his job and he latched on to anything he could. The fact is, he stayed married to a boozer. He didn't leave you. Some part of this suits him. And the only thing that you can sort out is you. The only thing you fix in this situation is you. You have to figure out, and how hard is this? And this is shit you can only do sober, right? Like, why do relationships dissolve anyway? You had a thing in the beginning. You picked a person out of a lineup of total fucking strangers, and you picked this one to be your roommate, to be your coworker, to start a business with. And then things go wrong. But they mostly go wrong from misunderstandings, because most of us are operating on a whole bunch of pre-programmed stuff we don't even know. Like, why am I irritated that the other person is talking the whole time? You might say it's disrespectful, it's impolite. Until I tell you that they were two Koreans and one was translating for the other. Well, then you relax and it's not, then it's totally acceptable. But I'm I bring my judgment to them. I have an opinion about whether or not they should be speaking during this presentation. Until I realize what's actually happening. Which is one guy's translating for the other guy. And then suddenly it doesn't matter if people are talking because I know why it's happening and I don't judge them. Why was I judging them in the first place? What the fuck do I care whether people are listening or not? I can hear. Funnily enough, I can hear when I know that the guy's translating. When I think he's just being rude, then I can't hear. All I can hear is him. What does it say about, that says something about me. That doesn't say anything about him. So in that situation, what's the 5% of that that's me? The 5% of that that is me is that I'm looking around for something to be irritated about. And I want people to behave a certain way so that I can have a certain kind of experience, as if somehow this room is set up for me. What's the 5% of that that I can look at and look at, like, really look in the mirror and, like, what part of this is me? If your husband really did quit his job because you were over drinking, then there was a certain amount of panic and terror in him. There's something up with that, right? Okay. So what part of that can you help adjust? Well, the part that doesn't make him feel panicked and terrorized. I mean, I have had husbands email me and tell me that their wife is nervous that they're going to relapse. And of course, I've had wives say that their husbands are worried. It goes both ways. I've had a husband tell me that his wife is afraid to go on work trips now because she's afraid that if she leaves, he'll relapse. And he's mad. And I'm like, that's a reasonable response. And 10% of that is your fault. Like, fault. Fault's a bad word. 10% of that is your shit. 10% of that clearly is you. You might say the other 90% is her overreacting. We'll argue that. She'll argue the other way. Doesn't even matter. 10% of that is true. Fix that 10%. Fix the percentage that is you. Because you've seen these books, and so have I. And I actually read one of these books once, like early in a relationship in my 20s. The book was like, How One of You Can Bring the Two of You Together. And basically, it was how one person can make adjustments to themselves about how they respond, and it will change everything. And I recently had an experience with this about 2 weeks ago. I was thinking about self-improvement things. This is from a person who's longer-term sober, who has the brain space to adjust other bits of her life that aren't specifically to do with not drinking. And I decided that I wanted to see what would happen if I was friendlier. And the word I used in my head was friendlier to my husband. Because we had had a couple of weeks of just, you know, bitchy, cranky back and forth. And I started to see a side of him that I had never seen before. We've been married for 11 years and I'd really never seen this sort of bitchiness in him. And I thought, I wonder if there's a percentage possibility that if we're sitting in therapy and I'm complaining about him, that the therapist will say to me, is it possible, is it 5% possible he's responding to you? Or is it 90% possible that he's a jackass? Have you ever done this? Have you ever imagined you had to present your side of the story in therapy and what the therapist might actually say? And you're like, shit, but I'm sure he's being a jackass. I'm sure my husband is X. I'm sure my boss is Y. I'm sure my colleague is out to get me. I'm sure those people talked through that whole event to ruin my day. My 5-year soberversary, I go to a food tasting. People talk the whole time. So I decided I would do a friendliness experiment. And you know what? For the first 2 days, he continued to be crabby, even though I wasn't. And I said to him, why are you crabby when I didn't say anything? And then he stops and he's like, oh yeah, because he was sort of, it was ingrained. It just became a routine. Crabby. I'm crabby, you're crabby. I'm crabby, you're crabby. I stop being crabby. I kindly ask why he's crabby because I didn't say anything. And then it stopped. And I'm like, oh no, my God, is it possible he was responding to me? Which gives me a whole lot of responsibility, right? Or is it possible that just me changing 5% is enough to shift the whole thing? He feels 5% less defensive. Then I feel 5% more kind. And then he feels 5% more kind. He would say, if you asked him, that he was totally justified in being crabby. When you're drinking, you can't do any of this. When you're drinking, it's everybody else's fault all the time. In fact, I will tell you that the earlier you are in your sobriety, the angrier you are at everybody else. And the further along you are in your sobriety, the more you recognize your own role in this shit. And the further along you are again in your sobriety, the better are you able to sort some of your shit out. Because in the beginning, it's sort of like trapped. This is happening to me. And then when you have some agency and autonomy and success in being sober, you recognize that you actually have the ability to change aspects of your life for the better. And then once you've been sober for a while and you can count on yourself and you're less attached to that stupid voice in your head that says all kinds of nonsense things, and you're further along, then you're able to sort of look and say, fuck, I wonder what my role is in this. I wonder what I bring out in them. I wonder what percentage of this is actually me. And then I see if I can fix my percentage. Sometimes I can't. But you know what? People who get married spend $20,000 on a wedding. Divorce. And I think they divorce because of a whole series of small misunderstandings and judgments that then escalate and never get turned around. And when we go to therapy, it's so that somebody can say, gee, I wonder what percentage of this is you. And you're like, fuck you, it's all him. And if I get If I get a lot of very angry emails in early sobriety, I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. It will get better. Don't worry. Don't worry. That whole angry thing, totally normal. Totally normal. Keep going. Because once you develop some compassion and empathy for yourself, your ability then to share it with the world is the likelihood is more probable. It's not 100% for everybody. It's more possible to see these things from somebody else's point of view and to see our role in it.